When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. It's a Monday Rewind brought to you in part by your South Florida Chevy dealers. You're looking for more power, capability, and technology with Chevy trucks. You're ready for anything Chevrolet together. Let's drive. Miami Dolphins, it's a wound-licking Monday, you know, trying to get... How are you feeling today, Froggy? How are you feeling? You know, you haven't expressed yourself very much today. I'm worried about you. I don't like it all bottled up inside.
Yeah, so my heart hurts. I think that's really what it is. Not because the Dolphins are just as mediocre as they have been for 25 years, and not because we had another underwhelming performance when we needed it most.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is I really believe this year.
Really?
I really thought this was going to be a good year. I really believed it. I thought all the excuses were out of the way. The team had the chemistry. The team had the talent. Sure, we had a drop off of potentially Christian Wilkins leaving and a couple injuries here and there. But it was not nearly the season that we've wanted. And we've had times where we struggled to find a good part. And unfortunately, the only good thing about this season has been Zach Sealer, Calais Campbell, and, you know, potentially Chop Robinson.
Robinson's been good.
He's been doing better as well.
Like, it's honestly, if you wanted to draw up all the worries, like if any Dolphins skeptic was pointing at them into the year, every one of those worries has really come true. Still can't be good teams. Still can't win on the road.
Can't win in the cold.
Tua got hurt with a crazy head injury.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Tyreek Hill, maybe he's taking a step back. Maybe.
I think he's
injured, dude.
What part of that is like teams are going out of their way to eliminate Tyreek Hill? Out of their way.
You tell me.
I mean, yeah, that's why Waddle was having some good games. Now that's why Jonnu Smith is. That's why, like, the success or failure of your team can't be based on one guy.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be. And we've seen other guys have some success.
But the offense was better when it was just one guy last year. Like, it was just better.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Like, we obviously know people are going to double down on Tyreek. So we try to get a step ahead of them. And we're like, all right, well, we're going to utilize Jonnu.
Sometimes you just got to go with your horse.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, yeah. You know, if we're using Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill as, like, decoys, or, like, Tyreek Hill is the most expensive blocker I've seen all year in regards to, like, this guy is blocking so much. He went the first
I thought that was a BS holding call on him, by the way.
That was a BS holding call, dude.
That was a BS holding call on him, by the way.
Come on. There's, like, you got to give the benefit of the doubt.
I wish you would have held that good under the football at the end of the game.
Oh, speaking of holding, hold on to the ball, sir.
I mean, you ever thought maybe he can't?
I think he's injured.
The wrist?
I think he's injured.
Yeah, possibly.
That wrist is probably still bad. But
Raheem Mostert goes from record-breaking to out of the rotation, basically.
That's O-line.
Raheem Leistert.
Is it O-line? Is it also age? An injury, too?
Yeah, age, injury.
Could be.
O-line.
Could be.
Was a touchdown merchant last year, really.
They don't score at all. In the red zone.
There's no merchants on this team.
Yeah.
No merchants.
Other than Eichenberg being a holding merchant.
Oh my goodness.
Our special teams has been horrendous. We still struggle on third and one.
I got to tell you, dude, right now.
Yeah.
If this Danny Crossman comes back next year.
Oh, that's crazy.
I'm going to have a problem with him.
I'm surprised nobody fired him today. Everyone was so
I don't understand it. They're not good
at
anything on special teams.
No, nothing.
What is he teaching them?
There's been one good play, and it was Malik Washington's like 40-yard return against the Jets.
Right, and that was after him blowing a game.
Exactly, yeah, absolutely. So there's been nothing good across the board, unfortunately.
Hey, 560, who are you firing? Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, hey, I'm sorry I'm late, bro. I was on a cherry picker, bro. I had no time to call in. This is the only time I have to call in.
Oh, wow. So
can I call in?
You have called in. You're on the air.
I'm on the air already.
Okay. All right. Okay. Somebody needs to bring me Hawkman, and I want his gallon of McRib sauce on a platter today, bro. Okay? I never want to hear that guy compare Tua to Dan Marino. Not even on the last game at Jayville did Dan Marino play that horrible, bro. So I need a body, bro. The streets need a body. We're not getting a body because the media is protecting the bodies. I need Mark Hawkman and that gallon of McRib sauce. No Diddy, bro. ASAP.
Wow.
I like his energy.
Do they take calls on that show?
Thank you.
I think they do.
Yeah, I think they do.
Well, save him that call. Let him know.
No, 100%.
Save him that call. Let the boys know.
People are mad. He also was in a fierce debate between Tua and Joe Burrow this last week.
I saw that too. And you know what? He's got to stop doing that. He just does. That just is what it is. By the way, the rest of our headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Doral Hyundai, choose one with 1,300 new Hyundai miles in inventory like Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai. Panthers back on the ice tonight against the Stanley Cup final rematch losers, Edmonton Oilers, and that con artist winner, McDavid, 8:30, puck drop.
Boom.
AM 790. Heat back on the hardwood tonight against the Pistons at 7. 5:45 is preheat.
Right.
And the Hurricanes, the basketball team, they snapped their 7-game losing streak. Look at that. Be Presbyterian.
Okay. What? That team only eats fish?
That's a point. Back after this. All right, welcome back, you rascals. It's Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. What did he do?
Well, so
he finally showed
Christmas present.
He finally showed him where he buys
and
his shoes.
And he showed me shoes, and then he immediately came with 17 caution signs. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going
to. You know, just, okay. Like, buying shoes online, sometimes sketchy.
And then he goes,
haven't we told you?
He goes, you might be better just going with where I was already looking.
Footlocker.com.
Why? Like, you were going to take advice on where to get shoes from?
No, he just volunteered it.
He sent him the morgue.
The Clever Oak Cemetery has great selection. You just got to.
Morgueshoes.com. That's where Marcos buys his shoes from.
Bring your shovel and you'll be good to go.
Like,
oh my God.
I don't want to get shoes that need to be resuscitated. And then, you know, I asked him, I said, hey, I was going to get these shoes. He goes,
buying shoes from the dead Marcos is a real gamble. Like, I think when you do that, don't you worry about, like, spirits and stuff like that?
I don't buy them anymore. I just take them. They don't need them.
What do you have? These look cool right here.
Got these bad boys.
Off where?
Off of a fresh corpse.
That's so
fresh corpse.
These look cool.
Nah, I got a police scanner on my phone now. Anytime I hear something going on.
All right, I'm getting these.
Let's can we get a weather update, Leroy, from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm? YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultation 24/7. Call at 866-954 more.
Man, this weekend I had to golf with a damn rock in my pocket. It was
windy. Very windy.
Windy.
Oh, my goodness. Does that affect your golf game?
Yes.
Mm.
Oh my goodness.
Not me.
Are you kidding me? What do you think a little ball gonna do blowing in a 25-mile-an-hour wind?
I don't know. Usually I'm bad anyway, so it doesn't affect me much.
Oh, no. It blew that ball all over the place. It is a lot warmer, though, because the winds look like they're coming out of the southeast.
Mm.
Still humming pretty good at about 15-plus miles an hour. And it's quite warmer. So I'm saying it's about 80, 81 degrees. But it's been raining on and off. You've been getting a lot of these showers. So, hell, look out for some more showers later on this evening.
Mm. All
right. There you go. How do you do, Froggy?
It is currently, I'm sorry, I didn't hear where he said the winds were coming out of, but it is currently 79 degrees.
Look at him.
Partly cloudy, wind east, northeast, 16
That's southeast, though.
Hour.
Look out there. They're coming this way, like almost right over our head.
Yeah, crosswinds.
A lot of rain and thunder for the next couple days, apparently.
Yeah, that warm air. You know, that's thunder.
Rain, thunder, showers, and then sometime around Christmas, we'll be cooling down again.
There we go.
All right.
That wind really got to Jason Sanders yesterday.
Dude. Don't talk about that, man.
Wasn't it a dome?
Just give him everything you got. You mean, yeah. you really unloaded
Open up.
On this guy.
Open
yesterday.
Up,
you hated
him.
I feel like hey, I
say what you want to say about
anything.
Say what you want to say. Call him a fat cat.
Let it out.
But I don't understand how the guy, he made, what, a 55-yarder?
With ease.
With ease.
Does anyone understand what that man does? No!
I don't understand.
He lets us down when we need him the most, okay?
That is true. You let him know.
I gotta tell you.
We're behind you.
Jennifer?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
These Dolphins even got her going.
She's very furious.
Yes.
It's been a week.
Did you threaten for him to wet himself yesterday?
That's right. No,
I threatened for him to drink his own pee.
Yes, because he was stranded in a desert.
Because apparently. I'm going to send him to a very abandoned field.
Yeah, she kind of pulled a sending them to the Yotes last when...
Yeah, Tobin. But the problem is that they didn't win. Yeah. When Tobin sent somebody to the Yotes, they won. Oh, yeah. You doubled. Look at that.
I look good in that camera.
One shirt looks black and the other one looks brown.
Well, see, because the light from that terrible window and this awful camera.
Are they different?
Really? You're the only one complains about the lighting. What do we? We're not.
Do you
we're
not
we're not on ESPN.
Difference? Do you not see the difference?
We're not on ESPN.
There's a. Give me things. That
the
work,
bottom
okay?
right one. That's you
the
like
bottom
that light.
Right one. What? No, I can't stand that one. I like this one.
You. The other one makes you look like you're
like me in real life. That's how I look.
Like Morticia.
Wow.
Like just that's black and white and just gloomy. Look, no sun,
you're
no light.
That's a problem. Huh? You're saying like that's a problem.
Yeah,
oh, that's what you want to.
She's
okay.
goth. You know, she likes Morticia.
That's yeah. I love Morticia.
It's one of the idols.
I was actually watching Wednesday yesterday.
Wednesday.
But it was Sunday.
Show
thank you.
I'm aware of the days, okay?
Thank you. Thank
minus
you.
One to yourself.
That's fair. That's fair. I will accept that.
False alarm?
I will accept
minus that. One.
Do you need me to go?
Would you mind?
Of course, as long as it's not Jason Sanders.
Well, one of you, Jason.
I don't understand. So she threatened him to drink it.
Yes. No, but he's. This is after.
Him. Stranded him.
And wait, this is after she stranded him on a desert.
So, like, lost.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, lost.
Correct. Yes.
It was a great text. You're welcome.
It was a great text.
It was just out of the blue.
I was surprised.
Right.
Yeah. I was mad.
She was very mad.
She hates Jason Sanders.
What's crazy is, like,
isn't he going to be like. He's probably. Is there ever anybody who's had the longevity that he has will likely go down as one of the most accurate kickers in team history. And
yep.
yet nobody trusts him.
Nobody trusts
yes.
him.
Nobody trusts
Isn't
him.
Isn't that crazy?
It's weird, right?
But I don't understand how he's made more consecutive 50-plus yard field goals than he has extra points. He's missed two extra points in the same time he's made six or seven 50-yarders.
It's like if Kyle Korver couldn't make a layup.
I mean, strange. No, Duncan Robinson.
Yeah, but Duncan can take it. And we've seen Duncan do a lot of things. But unfortunately, Sanders is a one-trick pony. He'll never be Olindo Mare. Olindo Mare. Olindo Mare. My favorite.
It's crazy, though, man. Yeah, I never would have imagined we would have been in this position when it comes to him. But because yeah. I kind of, you know, it was funny, Marcos. I was like getting to the point where I was like, maybe I should trust this bum. And then,
because he won Special Teams Player of the Month,
he did. You know, you figure like, oh, all right, I guess I gotta, you know, I gotta, you know, give props where props is due.
Yeah,
right.
That's what you do. You're a props giver.
I'm a props giver.
Right.
But you know, no. Apparently not. Yeah. Apparently not, dude.
He was.
I was a fool.
We thought he was.
I was a fool.
We let him off the hook.
Pretty wild.
Yeah. I mean, of course. He's not necessarily to blame for yesterday's loss, but he sure as hell didn't help, dude.
No, he did not.
He sure as hell did not help.
It's made you nervous because you're like, oh, we're going to need a conversion, too.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing because we were like, you know, I was like, oh, my God, fourth down? No way we're going to get this. Then
Tua connects with Jonnu Smith back at the end zone.
That was great.
Which was crazy. That whole thing was because they had 3 points.
Yes.
Took the three off the board because it became 4th and 2 and then score. And that was awesome.
That was wild.
That was.
And you started to have a little faith. Maybe. After all that's gone wrong. After the Jonnu Smith play. This was going to happen. But nope.
That was an example, though, of some minor. That's why I think McDaniel's on 3rd on my list in regards to like who I'm most pissed at.
Sanders is number 1.
No, if you listen, let me explain something to you. If you're putting any of this on a kicker, you got other problems.
That's fair.
So
I'll be a grown up about
that. Like, again, we can complain about him missing an extra point. Yeah, that's all fine and dandy.
Yeah.
But to say this is on a kicker, no. No, we can start with the three culprits are, and here's what the three culprits are: Greer, McDaniel, Tua. That's what you're going to do.
Yep.
The only reason why
with the side of Eichenberg.
The only reason why Greer is first is because he controls everything. What players goes out there?
He's been in the longest,
and he's been in the longest. But again, I'm not like I'm just talking about right now. The way you can talk about Mike McDaniel is, I just think there's a level of physicality offensively on the line of scrimmage that's missing. And it just looks like...
When we talk about like ID, do you think that if he's at the helm, and I like Mike, but if he's at the helm, do you think that's ever going to change? Or do you feel like...
No, yeah.
Because we talk about D'Amico Ryans, his identity.
Physical, when you think of Dan Campbell. But here's what
Steve
I would say.
Tomlin. Like, do you feel like a Mike McDaniel team's ever going to be that?
There are coaches who... I mean, Dan Campbell thinks that way, but look at how wide open their offense is, right?
Yeah.
So you can it can be both ways. When you look at
they throw to a lot of fast.
When you look at San Francisco is wide open like this, but they're very physical up front. They're just banged up. So I'm not saying that I'm always gonna allow for a coach to adjust to what is winning, right? To say a good football coach means you can coach. It doesn't mean that you're a good systems guy.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So I'm not saying he can't do it, but I'm saying with the guys he currently has, no, because you're either tough or you're not.
Tough.
Right? You could probably put this on Mike. When have you ever looked at this team, and I said there were times where I thought they tried to be more physical and it worked with how they were running the football.
I think the only drive I can remember this year was like that one drive against the Patriots where they like just ran it down their throats with Raheem Mostert and Alec Ingold, and they gave Ingold the touchdown at the end.
Right.
And it was the Patriots, but you know, that's like
right.
the only
but
time it comes to mind.
I just think you need to have that needs to be your start. Every team that I see in the NFL that has success, look at what they have. Valid run game. Whereas we talk about how good their quarterback is, but it always starts with the run game. But they had it last year.
Do you feel like even like, because it almost feels like they've even given up like going wide with it too. Like they can't do anything with it.
Well, I would say from week to week, this past week was not a team you want to go wide with.
Yeah.
That's why they threw the ball out
but
there.
I'm just saying like overall this season, like that used to be their
You thing. Know why?
That's what I'm asking.
2nd and 14.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if you have success with it 4 times, right, it still kills you on the 5th time being 2nd and 14.
A lot of untimely penalties, too, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which I think has to go with coaching.
No.
That's discipline.
No. Here, and let me explain something to you. There's certain penalties, yeah, that are discipline. But there's a lot of penalties that happen because you're not good enough to block or compete against the guy across from you.
And the penalties were pretty even yesterday.
Yeah.
The penalties were pretty even. It was the turnovers that were the killer.
The turnovers.
You're not going to lose it. You're not going to win. And that's what they've done. Like, their whole identity this year has been winning the turnover battle by a lot. But, yeah. Bums.
Yeah. It sucks. It's unfortunate. I don't know. Here's the problem. I think whatever they decide to do, okay, whatever they decide to do is not going to make people happy.
Yeah, I think
because,
so.
Because
unsatisfactory.
In order to do it, you can never do it to where it just seems like you're rebooting. There's nobody who wants that. As bad as fans especially want change, as bad as fans want change and want.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Things to change. You don't want a redo.
I think for me, what's going to happen is I really don't think anybody's going to get fired other than maybe really? The special teams coach. But my lipstick on the pig that I think they're going to do is they're going to hand the play calling off to somebody else.
Nope.
That's going to be their move. I'm telling you, dude.
Okay.
Telling
no you. Chris Greer firing, dude?
Nah, I don't think so. Been here too long. That's what I think. I'm not saying I want that to happen,
no, for sure.
But that's what I think is going to happen. I think their move is going to be take the play calling out of Mike's hands, give it to somebody else, let him run the team, be the head coach, but it's going to be in somebody else's hands.
Here's the deal. Man. Philosophically, right? How you put the team together has to change.
Yeah, agreed.
So,
agreed.
But then
I don't know.
Then
he's just been here too.
Are you gonna change with the same? That never happens.
I don't.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, they got to look at change. They have to.
A coach can change schemes, right? That's very easy to do. But it's hard for a GM to change philosophies. Like, when is Jim? Because here, you understand.
Mm-hmm.
If Chris Greer gets on a podium and say, we need to do things differently, he's admitting that he was wrong.
Well, you know, he might want to do that. We'll take a break. Back after this. AM, very excited to talk to our next guest. You know, the fight game, Leroy.
A little bit.
This man's, put your mic on, man. Be a professional.
We got people for that.
We're joined in studio by one of the best boxers on the planet, the monster, David Benavidez, is joining us here. David, thanks for the time, man. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, thank you guys for inviting me, and I really appreciate it.
Well, it's good. It's finally, you've been training down in Miami for what, like a year and a half now, 2 years? How long have you been down here?
It's been, it's almost about to be a year in February. I moved down here. I bought a place out here. I still have my place in Seattle, but, you know, because of the cold and the weather over there, I had to give myself something you know, that there's more summer in, so more sunlight. So I came over here. It's a beautiful city, and, you know, I love it here.
It's always wet there.
Yeah, always.
Like, it's always, if you get the sun, everybody celebrates. But normally it's gloomy, cloudy, rainy. I remember we used to go play Seattle. It was open.
Yeah.
So it was just miserable.
Yeah, it's a beautiful city, but it's just there's only 2 months out the summer where the sun really comes out every day, and after that it's just gloominess and dark and wet and
We were just talking before we got on the air about pro athletes trying to box. Have you seen anybody, any pro athlete that has come across your parts that's kind of decent, like that's not a boxer but is getting in the gym? You're like, yeah, he's kind
of
decent.
Yeah,
like,
we actually have one of my bros. I don't know exactly what his name is, but he trains at Boxer. What's his name? The football player? He's an NFL player, but he's actually pretty good. He just fought on the boxer card on 11-11 not too long ago, but he's good. He was an NFL player. But as you know, as far from anybody else, that's really kind of the only other professional athlete that I've seen that's actually pretty good in boxing, but there's not really that much in the sport of boxing.
You're fighting David Morrell coming up on February 1st, pay-per-view, Las Vegas. Hell of a fight, man. Listen, this is not a you're not taking an easy one here, which is not your style. You're always usually taking the hardest matchups. What made you get to this matchup against David?
So the way this fight was set up is, you know, I've gotten to a point in my career. I've been professional 11 years now, you know what I mean? And I've won four different belts. And my plan was, I was the number one contender at a super middleweight to fight for all the belts against Canelo Alvarez. That didn't happen. So I went up to light heavyweight. I won a belt. This belt that I have right here, the interim title. And I was just looking for the best fight I could possibly make for myself, because at the end of the day, you know, I have something to prove, not only to the world, but to myself, that I am the best in the world. And the only other person that was there, you know, besides Bivol and Beterbiev, but is David Morrell. So that was the best fight that I seen. Not the easiest fight. It's probably the toughest fight besides Beterbiev and Bivol. But I said, hey, I believe in my skills. I know that I'm the best in the world, and I want to prove myself on the big stage to all my people. And this fight, you know, we made the fight happen. T-Mobile Arena, February 1st, and it's going to be a great night of boxing.
You guys got after to that press conference. It seemed like there was not a lot of love lost already between you guys. Is that right off the bat? Was there something beforehand? Because it seemed pretty vicious between you guys when it came to the war words early on.
Well, because the only reason that happened is because at the end of the day, this is a great fighter, and he's trying to go in there and knock me out. You know what I mean? So he had a couple words for me saying that I was running from him, this and that. And, you know, I kind of had to test his temperature and let him know that I'm going to be here all night, and I'm not going to be running from nobody. And then by the time this fight is finished, he's going to know who the best David is. And that's kind of what I showed him. That was, you know, I was just trying to check his temperature real quick.
How is it, you know, because, like, the thing over the last few years is there's been a lot of fights that should have been made. You are willing to do that. You have the belt. You're willing to go ahead on and put yourself out there and fight who's available. Does it bother you that there's some guys that pick and choose and don't want to test whether they're the best or not? They don't want to have these big fights.
To be honest with you, the only thing that bothers me is that the person that was doing that is Canelo, and he's, you know, it's not even about him. I don't care what he does, but he was kind of blocking my chance to achieve greatness going up against the four titles. I mean, I know there's a lot of other people in boxing that do that, but, you know, it's not really my business. But, you know, that's the one I did have a problem with, Canelo Alvarez. And, you know, I think now, since Floyd Mayweather, his era came, I think everybody's now is more about protecting their O. And, you know, mm-hmm. if the money isn't right, they're not going to take the chance.
I got you.
But for me, I feel like if you want to get the money right, you got to go through the hardest fights. You know, you got to show the people what you're really made of. And this is what I'm doing with this fight. Every fight that I've taken, they've been hard competitive fights, you know, where it looks like it's 50-50. But I go in there and I do my thing and I show the people why I'm the best in the world.
And the thing that was crazy, but I remember talking to you about this with Vegas, because you didn't want to wait around. You want to make your own path. But, like, there's probably two fights that people really want to see Canelo fight. It's either against you or it's against Terrence Crawford. And it's like, he comes out, it's like, all right, it's no disrespect to Edgar Berlanga, who's a fine fighter, but, like, I think as the fans know, like, we know who we want to see. So, like, when that was the fight made, you're just, like, did you, like, eye roll at it? Like, were you like, this is really where it's going?
Well, you know what I mean? I wouldn't have had a problem with that fight if Edgar Berlanga would have went out there and really put everything out on the line. He didn't do shit. No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say.
It's all right, we got
he didn't do anything.
You know, right.
It was just defense the whole fight, not trying to get knocked out. So it's like when you get an opportunity like that, like, come on, bro. Like,
go after it. Get it.
Everybody's paying high amounts, like $100, $90 for this pay-per-view for you to not even give everything
you got
in there. You know what I mean? So that's what I feel like. That's why Canelo has been avoiding me, because he knows I'm not, you know, I'm going in there, I'm putting everything in that ring. I'm not leaving nothing to chance. And I'm working my ass off, and I know I have 100% confidence in myself. And I know whoever I get in the ring with, I'm going to end up winning. You know what I mean? So the people that Canelo is picking, you know, we all know they're not the best. You know, there's only one guy that everybody wants to see Canelo fight, and that's me. And, you know, it's kind of unfortunate that that's not happening. But, you know, there's still other great fighters. You know, I always told people that what happens when you don't get a Canelo fight or you get the Canelo fight? Wait, is your career over? Right. You know what I mean? You still have to make your own path. You still have to, you know, show the people why you were great. And I feel like my career, if I never get the Canelo fight, it's fine with me. You know, my destiny is chasing greatness.
Mm-hmm. This fight against Morrell, you know, he's a guy who has finished a lot of fights early. You're a guy, like, you do a lot of your finishing late. Like, you're a storm late in fights. How do you feel like that's going to play into your advantage? Because I don't feel like he's been in there with anybody who can bring it that long through a fight like you.
That's the difference between me and him. He's fought against people that are not really good. That's why he finishes them early. I fought with people that are experienced, veterans in the ring, and I finish them late. So that it's going to be, you know, my experience versus, you know, his him just trying to go in there, you know, trying to score a quick knockout or whatever it is that his game plan is. I don't really know what he's going to try to do. But I'm 100% focused, and I know that this fight is not going to be easy. You know, it's probably going to end in the later rounds. So my plan is to go in there and drown him in the deep waters.
And then do you have your eye on, I mean, Beterbiev and Bivol are going to rematch?
Yeah.
First of all, what did you think of the first fight? Because a lot of people thought Beterbiev got the generous rub there, keeping his belt. So what did you think of the first fight? Did you think Bivol won?
I absolutely think Bivol won. I think, you know, as for combination-wise and ring generalship, Bivol had it. I think maybe Beterbiev stole some of the later rounds, but I think it was clear victory on my part from Bivol. So I'm thinking he's going to win again, you know, to be honest with you. I feel like if he goes in there, he looks a little bit, you know, he does the same game plan. You know, I think he might take the victory this time because I thought he took it for sure the first time.
I mean, that would be a hell of a feather in your cap, though, David. Like, if you got that matchup down the road, I mean, that's the latest Canelo loss that everybody looks at, and they're like, man, Bivol pieced him up. If you were to go in there and beat Bivol, stop him, whatever that is, take the belt from him and become undisputed, that's kind of like your checkmate move.
Yeah, and I would definitely beat Bivol. I used to spar him back then, and we had some amazing spar sessions, but I always got the better of him. And the last time I sparred him, I was 21, 22 years old. Now I'm more experienced. I turn 28 tomorrow, so I'm coming into my prime. And, you know, I'm just a more focused and more hungrier fighter than I was when I was 22. So I know this David Benavidez will walk through Dimitri Bivol.
How, you know, so are there any things for this fight? Are you training differently? Like, this is another run at 175. You won the belt in June. How did you like, first of all, just going up to 175 after starving yourself to 168 all those years?
Yeah, so my performance, the way I rate my performance, a lot of people didn't know, but I had a lot of injuries going into this fight. 7 weeks left to the fight. You know, I had torn the tendon. Yeah, it was a ligament or a tendon. It was a pretty severe injury. They said I needed 7 weeks to recover from that. I'm like, well, I don't got that. I mean, so I'm gonna go ahead and use my. I'm gonna go ahead and just use my left hand. You know, hopefully by the time the fight gets there, this one's gonna be recovered. So I'm throwing jab. You know, for like 2 weeks. I think there's 5 weeks left to the fight. I throw an uppercut and I hit the guy in the top of his head right here. So I actually fractured that. You know, I couldn't even use that either. That hurt a lot. So then I'm like, well, I'm not going to cancel the fight anyway, so I'm going to just give it a couple time. I'll give it some time to heal up. 2 weeks later, I'm sparring in there again. And in the 12th round, it was probably the only 12-round sparring session I did with three different people. In the last round, I go back to the corner, and I get cut in my eye. I get 13 stitches.
Oof.
So there I was like, man, I was really torn up. I'm like, man, I don't know what to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I have this injury, I have a cut. And then, but because the fans mean so much to me, I knew this was a big deal to the people of boxing and to the people of PBC. Gervonta Davis.
There's a monster card.
Headline, and then I'm co-main event. You know, we really don't get big cards like that on the PBC side. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just go in there. And, you know, I'm going to pray for the best. You know, I'm going to pray that my hands are healthy. The stamina is there. Everything is there. So I'm going to just go on with the fight. And I kid you not, in the dressing room, I'm doing mitts. I feel the hands swelling up. I feel this hurt. So I'm already kind of nervous. But I went in there, man. I did a great job. I think I won eight or nine rounds against a veteran. You know, he was a silver medalist in the Olympics, and he was a unified champion, too, in light heavyweight.
His only loss besides you is Beterbiev.
Yeah, to Beterbiev. So he's a great fighter. You know what I mean? So I learned a lot from that fight. I learned that I have so much heart. You know what I mean? And nothing's going to stop me. But now with this fight, it's completely different because I don't have no injuries. You know what I mean? I'm worked. My hands are 100% healed. And, you know, I feel like, and with this fight, I'm definitely going to be able to put you know, my put some weight on my punches. And, you know, I'm not, when you have two injured hands, you can't really punch at 100%. So now this one, I'm 100%. I feel great. I feel confident. And I can't wait to go in there and perform for the fans.
Having to, like, wait, like, 6 months, too, to, like, get back after it, like, that's got to be such a, as a pro athlete, you know, I tell, like, Leroy's, like, a week you got to wait in a football game. That's crazy. But, like, having to wait that many times to get back in there and feel like, all right, now I feel like I'm at peak. Is that a hard thing mentally for you?
Yeah, kind of, because when I had to take 3 months off for my hands.
That's what I'm saying. It probably helped you because you can say, okay, I got through that. Let's sit back and heal.
Yeah.
Let's heal before we get back into it. So you said you like the 3 months.
But the type of person I am, I only like taking a couple weeks off after my fight, and then I go back into the gym. So when I went in back into the gym, I'm like, man, the hand should be good. You know, let me just
you did it again.
Hit that right hand. I'm like, yeah, I gotta go check it up. And they told me, you can't do nothing for 3 months. He's all, if you want to keep having injuries and you keep training, he's all, you can't do nothing for 3 months. So I was running and stuff. I still stayed in the gym. But now I'm 100% healed up, and I'm very excited, very happy. My father, Jose Benavides, my whole team Benavides, you know, I'm training with my strength and conditioning trainer, Memo Heredia, again. So, man, I'm very excited.
Is there something about David Morrell? Like, what is, like, the number one thing you guys are worried about that he brings to the table?
I ain't worried about nothing. But as of me being smart, and I got to use all my skills, I got to use my head movement, I got to use my distance, I got to use my cutting the distance, I got to use the ring generalship, body shots, I got to use everything. Basically, I got to pull all my tools out of the tool bag and use them all that night. But David Morrell, you know, I said, like, I never took nothing away from him. He looks like he has a lot of KO percentage. He has power, you know, he has speed. But, you know, I feel like what I have in there, you know, I have so much experience. You know, I've been boxing since I was 2 years old, so I have 26 years boxing, you know what I mean? And then I've sparred the best since I was a little kid, and I fought great fighters. I've been at this level, you know, a couple more times than he has. So I'm going to use all that to my advantage come February 1st.
You know, your brother boxed at one of this with your dad here. How many fights do you have to break up between you and your brothers? Like how often does this happen? Like, is this happening from the time you guys are in the sandbox, like, immediately? Like,
so my brother back then, I never tried to fight him because he would always beat me up. But then once we got to, like, 14, 15, I started sparring him, and then we started having that little rivalry. But as of tough love, we never had tough love. You know, I've always respected my brother a lot. You know, that's the only reason why I boxed, because I wanted to be like my brother. So as of me fighting him all the time, there was no animosity. Like, there was just real mutual respect from both.
Challenge.
Yeah.
I get to the challenge. Yeah. Come on, old dude. Got you. I got you now. Yeah. He can't mess with you now. Now you're like, bleh.
There's a big matchup coming this week. Tyson Fury, Usyk. What do you think happens in the rematch?
To be honest with you, I think if Tyson Fury remains focused, I don't think he wins, but I think Usyk still beats him. You know what I mean? I think it's going to be a more competitive fight. I think the only reason why Usyk, Usyk, you know, he has to just keep doing his game plan, you know, boxing, cutting the angles, and, you know, looking for that overhand left. You know what I mean? I think if Tyson Fury stays more disciplined and doesn't fool around, it might be a closer fight, but I still got Usyk 100%.
What makes him so good, man? Because he's in there with a bunch of dudes bigger than him, but he doesn't seem like he gets rattled by anything. Like, when you watch him as a fellow champion, what makes Usyk so damn good?
The number one thing that makes Usyk the best fighter in the world, in my opinion, is his heart. He's in there with giant, bro. Usyk is not even that much bigger than me. He's like this much bigger than me. He's not buff. He's not none of that. But his movement, his skill, his IQ, you know what I mean? That just sets him apart for some, and his experience. You know, I think he has like 2 gold medals or something like that. You know what I mean? And he's fought the best. He's fought heavy hitters. He's fought everything. So his experience and his IQ and his heart just sets him apart from everybody.
If Canelo does end up fighting Terrence Crawford, there's some rumblings about that. Do you feel like that's an easy fight for Canelo? Do you feel like Terrence Crawford wins that fight? Like, what do you make of that if that does go down?
To be honest with you, it's like one of those, like, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know what I mean? I wouldn't be surprised if Terrence Crawford gives him a great fight, and I wouldn't be surprised if Canelo beats him easy. You know what I mean? Because Terrence Crawford is a great fighter, but he's coming up from, well, his last fight was at 154. And it was a super tough fight.
Yeah.
So imagine he's going up two more weight classes.
168.
Yeah, 168. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's weight classes for a reason. But I mean, Terrence Crawford, he's a great fighter, so he could definitely make it a great fight. But like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if it's not a hard fight for Canelo.
So you mentioned you think Morrell, it ends, and like you envision, like, after six round, you think you're going to wilt him? Like, is that what is in your mind? Or, like, how do you this fight plays out in your mind against Morrell? He's got nothing for you. Like, what do you think? When do you beat him?
To be honest with you, the way I think of this fight in my mind, I think of it that I got to, you know, establish my game plan and stay consistent in my game plan. I don't, in no time in this fight, I think it's going to be an easy fight. But if I establish my game plan, you know, and do the stuff that I know I could do, I will make it easy. You know what I mean? But I got to remain focused in there. You know, I can't mess around. I got to, you know, I got to do everything I know how to do and, you know, just follow the game plan and follow my dad's instructions. And, you know, that's always worked for me, and it's always made the fights that much easier. But I got to stay 100% focused the whole fight.
David Benavidez, go buy his fight against David Morrell in Vegas, February 1st, live on pay-per-view. Always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
guys.
Man. Appreciate
all right,
it.
We'll take a break, get back into that Dolphin if we have to. That Dolphins loss from yesterday. Take a break, back after this.